Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 7 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled The Kingdom of Heaven is Like. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
So as we begin Lesson 7 today of the parables, I've been speaking on unlocking the parables and how that this Bible that you hold is you can look at it as a big parable. The overall parable is about God creating the heavens and the earth, and God is sending His kingdom to this earth. I believe He will literally send His kingdom to this earth, but also, prophetically speaking, His kingdom is already coming to this earth, in that He is preparing His subjects to follow the King. So if we approach the parables, we are approaching the parables with change in mind. I am going to look at God's Word today so that I change, so that I'm different, so that I grow. So the parables are that very thing. Everyone has an opinion of what the kingdom of heaven is like. We have, I don't know how many denominations that we have today in the Christian faith, but there are many. I would dare say in the thousands, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
33,000. I think that's a lot. 33,000. To a farm boy, that's a lot. 33,000. So there's 33,000. And usually in a denomination or whatever, the reason that you... One of the reasons that we have different denominations is because there are different ideas on the approach in the Scriptures or interpretation of the Scripture, or everybody has a different idea of what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's just so amazing to me. But let me tell you something, or introduce you to a thought that's even more amazing than 33,000 denominations. And that is the idea, how can we have 33,000 denominations, but still they all can produce Christians? I think that's a good thought. That's amazing. 33,000? Now, are some radical in one way or another, for sure. But how can you have 33,000 different ways of interpreting the theology of this book and it still produce Christians? If you take away the theology of all 33,000 that has produced a true, I'm talking about a true Christian, somebody that's been born again, born anew. Or you can even not even believe in the theology of born again and have Christ in your heart. I mean, when I was born again into this earth, or when I was born into this earth, I can't change that. Matter of fact, I don't know that I had too much to do with the first time I was born into this earth. I kind of showed up. Could it be that being born again, as long as somebody has a changed heart, could it be that they are part of the kingdom of heaven? It says in Corinthians that God has placed everyone in the body where it pleases Him. So we find, and then the Apostle Paul says, well, as long as Jesus Christ is preached, leave them alone, he says. As long as they're preaching Jesus Christ, they're one of us. Well, if we got 33,000, we'll take away 10 who are just totally heretics. But in the 33,000, for the most part, other than having different theology, this book, now listen to the supernaturalness of this. This book can still produce a Christian. But yet your theology is different. Is that not remarkable? To To me, that's remarkable. Now, should we study? Yes, we are. Do I have my own persuasion? Yes, I do. But the confusing fact is I've heard people preach that a Roman Catholic cannot be a Christian born again. But yet I've met Roman Catholics that are. So I have a confusion. I've heard people say that about Methodists. Well, there's not any Methodists saved today. But yet I know some that are. And I get confused again. And so we go through all of these different ideas of how people, theology is different. But yet when you look at them, you know they're your brother or sister in Christ. Is that not supernatural? Point being, we can almost view those scriptures incorrectly and still be born again. Oh. You see, it's an operation of the Spirit. It's not the operation of your intellect. It's a total operation of the Spirit. You say, well, Alan, you've got to know that Jesus came to this earth and he born of a virgin and he lived a sinless life and he died. You've got to know those things to be born again. It says in the book of Romans chapter 1 that for those who haven't heard the gospel message can look at creation and tell that there's a God. Isn't that amazing? So let's just leave it open that God can visit mankind ever how he chooses. I am to be responsible for the light that God has given me. I have the light of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I am to be true and faithful to that. But I'm trying to make you feel better, not worse, that God's bigger than you think, and he's got this thing figured out more than we have, and he wants us to study and to gain in knowledge and understanding. But he also wants us to gain wisdom and trust in him, that he and he alone can take a book and allow people to have all different kinds of ideas, and he can still save their soul because of the finished work that he did on the cross of Calvary. I have that information. I will be true to the light of that information, but also I rejoice that God is God, and he's a good God, and he wants us to get it. Now, that might stretch you just a little bit, what I just said, but test it. That's all I ask you. Just test it, and just understand that this is a supernatural book that works in the hearts and lives of people. So, with that in mind, the kingdom of heaven is like. We have all of these different ideas of what the kingdom of heaven is like, and in the parables, we have a earthly story with a spiritual meaning behind this earthly story. One is the kingdom of heaven. We see that the scriptures gives us an idea. I'm sure all of you sitting here have a little bit of an idea of what you think the kingdom of heaven is like. But perhaps we'll go to the scripture and find this. We find this phrase 11 times in the book of Matthew. So we see here that Jesus says that he wants us to get clued into what the kingdom of heaven is like. And as I read the parables, I discover that they stretch me a little bit. Last week I covered the parable of the talents, and it stretches me a little bit. Master gave his servants different measurements of talents, and one hit it in the ground. And that stretches me a little bit, and we'll look at that as we move on. And Matthew 13:24, about the parables. Now look at me just a second. What I am trying to do up to this point, I have used a few parables as examples. But I'm not yet trying to teach you the parables. I'm trying to teach you the prophetic concept or the prophetic way to approach Scripture and its symbolism and how we can apply it to let the Spirit work. So look at it. Matthew 13:24 says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. Man. Now, if you want to know what the kingdom of heaven is like, there are, of course, 33,000 different ideas out there. So we'll allow everybody to have their ideas. But let's see what the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like. It is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. All right, that's interesting to me. Matthew 13:31 says it like this. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, here it is again, a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now, here we see that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed. Then it goes on to say it's like a man who sowed a mustard seed. Then it says in verse 33, another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like. So I start catching on that in these parables, they're trying to teach me something about what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, we want to start making the comparison of what something is like and what something is. When Jesus spoke in parables, the reason he spoke in parables was because the Holy Spirit brings revelation of the parable. Go to the next one here. The kingdom of heaven is like, it says in Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Oh my goodness, how confusing. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Oh, my goodness. Sounds like a riddle. Which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and he sells all that he has and buys the field. Okay. That needs to be unlocked to me. Matthew 13:45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Wow, how could that be? The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Matthew verse 47:13 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. My goodness, how many different ways are we going to approach this thing called the kingdom of heaven? Here we see in chapter 18 and verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So once we start seeing these different stories, we see that the kingdom of heaven is like, we start entertaining the idea that the kingdom of heaven is like a lot of different things. Or could we say the kingdom of heaven includes a lot of different things. Matthew 20 verse 1 says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. There again, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven, we are told, and we believe that when we die and leave these physical bodies, we are convinced that we will spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus starts giving us this idea that the kingdom of heaven that we will spend eternity in, we can already start experiencing the kingdom of heaven here. So, evidently, the natural world does not stop the kingdom of heaven being experienced. Jesus was trying to bring his followers into the understanding that the kingdom of God is already begun. When we became born again, we were changed from citizens of this world into citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So Could it not be that we need to have an extensive study of the kingdom of heaven, this place that we're headed to, and this place that we can already experience? So we tend to end up very sad because of the world situation, not understanding fully that the kingdom of heaven, which we are now citizens of, will trump any circumstance of this natural world. I just get this euphoric idea that living eternity in the kingdom of heaven is going to really be nice. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. So if I'm someone who complains every day, all day long, it must be that my testimony of where I am living is more in this world than it is on the kingdom of heaven. One way that we know, according to the parables, that we are living more in the kingdom of heaven, we are living more in the atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven. One way we know that we are doing that is if you're in the situation of the world, let's say you're at your job or you're at Walmart, you're going to Walmart to pick up several things, and you notice someone in the aisle next to you just got a phone call sobbing with their head in their hands, but yet you're in a hurry to purchase what you went to Walmart to get, but yet the kingdom of heaven is trying to interrupt your world. The kingdom of heaven is not necessarily to make me feel comfortable and fuzzy. The kingdom of heaven is something that we are to allow to flow through us. And it only flows through us when we say yes to the flow of the kingdom of heaven. So God, either through His Spirit or through His angels, or some people say that, you know, it's just by chance. Well, if it's by chance, God created that. So I don't care how you want to say it. You find yourself there in Walmart, and someone's crying, head in their hands, just got a phone call. And you know good and well that the Holy Spirit has prompted you. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit has sent you to that aisle to pick up what you bought or going to buy, and you get to that aisle and find out you're in the wrong aisle. Or are you in the right aisle? Could the Holy Spirit lead you to the wrong place for a right reason? We start finding how the Spirit life is a life of parables. Here's a story. I went to Walmart. I went to buy a shirt, and I went to the aisle. Oh, no, it was the wrong aisle, but there is a person crying, their head in their hands, just got a phone call. It's a parable. It's a story. It's a real life story with a spiritual meaning. You have just been set up to live out a parable by the Spirit of God. Will you say yes to your parable? When you find yourself in these parables in Scripture, you say to yourself, I cannot believe that they hid their talent in the ground. I can't believe that they would really do that. Not understanding. But every day of our lives can be a parable of the kingdom of heaven. It could have been written that the Scripture said there was a servant and there was a master, and he went away and he had a servant that went to Walmart to buy a shirt. And that servant went to the wrong aisle. And that servant found a treasure in the aisle at Walmart. Can you see how the parables are working? Now, the point of the parables, I told you in the beginning, it's not just to... The parables are usually taught as just teaching a moral lesson. Well, that's there. But prophetically speaking, the scriptures are after an impartation to us to understand that we are can be put in a parable, because a parable is how God prophetically works in a natural scene. The kingdom of heaven is like, says the person's in Walmart and they're crying their head in their hands, and your heartbeat starts jumping real fast, and you say to yourself, I don't have time for that. I got to go here and I got to go pick up. I got to this and got da 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 da. Just don't have time for it. But yet your heart's beating fast, and we have learned how to say no to a real life parable. But if and when we automatically start discovering that the parables that we're studying about on Sunday are getting in us, and all of a sudden I recognize Jesus said he spoke in parables because the unbeliever wouldn't understand. But as believers, we're to understand. We're to get it. So you're in Walmart. You go to the wrong aisle. There's a person crying. Holy Spirit, your heart's beating fast. You don't have time. You start this internal argument like there's two people in there. Part of you is a lawyer and defending your rights on how you don't have time to fool with it. And the Holy Spirit saying, jump, jump. Jump. This is it. Jump. But you're like, but I'm not ready. I didn't read the scripture this morning. Jump. Jump. It's not about you reading scripture. It's not about you being ready. It's about me telling you to jump. We've got to go help that person. Jump. All of a sudden, we start to catch on to what's happening. And so we go over to the person. Person just found out that their mother died and they just got the news, and you have your opportunity to be the kingdom of heaven is like in somebody's life. Jesus gave these situations to try to impart to us this idea of what the kingdom of heaven is like. There again, as I told you, it's amazing to me that we got 33,000 denominations, but yet they still all can produce Christians. But yet they all think differently. But it still produces Christians. Well, one wants to baptize for sprinkling. Well, one wants to duck you under the water. A sprinkle and a dip both produces a Christian. But they raise their hands. No, we don't raise our hands. But they both can be Christians. My. What a supernatural God we serve. That we get it when we ain't got it. Did you get it? We get it and we ain't got it, but we get it. Why? Because it's empowered by His Spirit. Now, truth does not become real until you use it. You say, well, Alan, I've seen people fight for the truth, but yet not make it real. We think there's some great virtue in fighting for truth. I remember back when I was 37, 38, and I was told I was going to live 3 to 6 months or a year or something like that. Anyway, the doctors told me I was leaving here, and some of y'all have heard me tell it before, but there's different aspects of that time in my life, and I asked God to show me my heart. I was fixing to die, and I was going to meet Him, and I said, I want to meet you as clean as I can, and would you reveal to me my heart? And He did. But the first thing and the biggest thing He revealed to me in a week's time was the Lord spoke to me and said, Alan, who are you to defend me? Well, I got it. Y'all know God's pretty big. Who is the ant to defend the element, the elephant? Huh? Who is the mouse to defend the elephant? Who? But he said to me, Alan, who are you to defend me? He was not impressed with my defending his word and him. He said, I've just asked you to live for me. I thought it was a great virtue that I defended him. But I discovered after that week that it was much harder, a greater task, to live unto him than to defend him. I discovered a parable. I started discovering a spiritual meaning to the scripture. I started understanding that you can have 33,000 denominations and they all produce a Christian. I started wondering, how can you do that? Because it's the same Spirit of the living God. He died for us. He already knows we don't get it. He said, matter of fact, just do these two things. Just love the Lord thy God with all your heart and love everybody as yourself. And he said, rolls it all up into one. Y'all just concentrate on them two things and you're okay. Just do those two things, he said. Just love the Lord thy God. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you'll do those two things, you got it. Because he said, I can't trust you with all this other because you're failing. So I'm going to go die for you so you don't have to die. Only thing I'm asking you to do is to love because that's the only thing I've created you to do and do well. The kingdom of heaven is like. We don't sin well. Have you noticed? We fail. We don't sin well. We don't do God well. We've already failed. Good news. He's given us permission to love him and love each other. That is our marching orders. Now we preach the gospel so people can know how much. But listen, the gospel, when it's preached, only has power because of the Spirit. It's a wonderful story, but I'll be honest with you, it's not that great a story. Somebody died, nailed to the cross, and rose. It's a good story. You can say, Alan, that sounds terrible. I'm just telling you, I've read stories that were more interesting, but not as powerful. Why? Because the Spirit of God speaks it with power. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Matthew 22:2 says it like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. My son of a gun. As I keep seeing in the scriptures what the kingdom of heaven is like, I start understanding that, boy, it's not like what I thought. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now he gets into this next, I'm going to give you another example of a little parable here. What the kingdom of heaven is like. It's a parable that starts showing us understanding. A spiritual understanding of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Could it be that the kingdom of heaven is closer than we think? Do you ever get to the place in your Christian life that you're bored with it? You ever get to the place in your Christian life that you almost even doubt its authenticity? Do you get to a place in your Christian life? I mean, I'm saying things we think but wouldn't dare say. Do we ever get to the place in our Christian life that things are dry? Or a place in our Christian life that we think, Jesus, where are you? Then he said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, Up to this point, we said the kingdom of heaven is like, and now it's saying a person that's in the kingdom of heaven is like. So we've switched from what the kingdom of heaven is like unto what a person in the kingdom of heaven is like. Boy, aren't you excited? Don't get too excited because I still don't know much more than I did. Instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. I mean, come on, Jesus. Can I not have a little more to go on than that? Okay. A householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. I don't know if you're interested in that or not, but we're going to get into that in the weeks to come to see what it is. Now, I'm going to go through these parables, but I'm going to give you a little bit of a visual to go with it right quickly. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now, that was the first one that I read. The kingdom of heaven's like that picture. Sowed some seed in a field. We know in Matthew chapter 13, the first parable speaks of a sower who went out to sow seed. And Jesus explains that very parable. We find that the seed is the Word of God. So I understand that this seed is being sown into a field. And Jesus also tells us that the key word there is field. And he gives the interpretation of the word field. And he says it's the world. So, I know that the kingdom of heaven is like a servant who sows the word of God into the world. Now, we've experienced this parable. We've seen Billy Graham do it. We've seen Reinhard Bonnke do it. We've seen a lot of these 33,000 denominations have sent missionaries all over the world sowing the seed of the word. So, it must be that the germination of life is in the seed. Must be. That the germination of life is in the seed. So when Jesus gives us a parable, we know that there's the life is in the seed or the word of the parable. Back to our real lifetime parable. There was a person, and you went into Walmart to buy a shirt, and you went to an aisle, which was the wrong aisle, and there was a person there crying, had their head in their hand, sobbing with the cell phone just hung up. You're into a real life parable. The germination, the life, the seed that brings life to that situation is about to be sown. If you'll jump. If you will carry the seed to the field. If there lies the understanding that the seed do not come alive until we make it real. Is anybody catching what I'm saying? So, Alan, that's a simple story. Yes, but a powerful truth. We are waiting for the Word of God to be real on earth when we have not connected that we are the ones who make it real. By sowing the seed. Goes on like this. There's another parable of the sower. And he's talking about the seed and it's being sown in a field. And I read this as the second one. He put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. Are you interested? The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Now, I just wanted you to get a visual, because that tree is planted in a field of mustard seed. So you can see, for some reason, this one grew up into a tree. When a mustard seed is a little bush, it's not a tree. So we start saying, well, what does this mean? I'm not going to give you the answer today. What does it mean? I just want you to see the contrast. It grew up into this big tree. Now, let's look at the next one. It says, another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. Can someone tell me what leaven is? It's like a yeast. Now, here's a picture. There's before leavening, and there's after. So leaven makes something swell and grow and get bigger. It says that the kingdom of heaven is like that. We find the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Point being, the measures of meal did not come alive until they hit the leaven. They were, something of life was interjected into it. Now here's the next one. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it and he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had, and he bought the field. There's the word field again. What did I tell you earlier that the word field being interpreted was? The world. I'll show you how we find words of interpretation. I'll teach you that if you'd like. Look at this next one. It says, it's in Matthew 13:45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, there we go again, went and sold all that he had and he bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like, I don't know this if you ever heard it preached on, the pearl of great price, and I've heard it taught before that Jesus was that pearl of great price. And needless to say, you and I are the pearl of great price. You see, let me interpret this one just real quickly. But again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. A merchant is Jesus. Beautiful pearls are me and you. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, what that means is, if Jesus had to die for just you, Jesus sees you as one pearl. He would have died for just you. This parable is showing the individualistic nature of who you are with God. If you were just one person on this planet, Jesus would have purchased you. And when he had found one pearl of great price, it was a great price because he had to sell all that he had. He gave up heaven, he came to earth, and he died. He gave up all he had to purchase you a great pearl. Now, here's what amazes me. I've heard it preached that Jesus was the great pearl. And people still get born again. I've heard it preached wrong and it still works. Somebody's got to help me. It still works. Isn't it amazing? I've been in situations of the movement of the Spirit and revival in the church to where you could say the gospel backwards and I promise you people would still get saved. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's the power of God, the power of His Spirit. Let's allow Him to be who He is. He is a wonderful God. We can trust Him. is good. He wants man to get it. He's went to a lot of trouble. We'll have to stop there. I'm a minute over. I hope you've learned a little something today. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for your parables, and we thank you for the power.